Tuesday. 15 years ago, when I noticed that the man with whom I'd just spent the night slept like me, with his hand near his face and wrist bent at a right angle, I wondered how to interpret such a coincidence. Was it the manifestation of a personality trait we had in common? Can people who sleep with their wrist at a right angle identify each other? They say that those who sleep on their backs are sociable, those who lie on their stomachs are sexually frustrated, those who prop themselves on their sides are confident, but they don't say anything about those who sleep with their wrists bent. Do we, too, share a commonality? 15 years after that first night, I continue to wonder about it. It's still early when a ray of sun settles itself at the crease of his armpit, making him look like a painting with an expert play of light and shadow. Caravaggio couldn't have found a better model than my husband, with his long black eyelashes at the top of his cheeks and the dampness in the crook of his neck. But it is his body heat in the early morning that has always overwhelmed me more than anything else. How high can the ambient temperature rise under a down duvet? The microclimate of our beds sometimes seems to approach 50 degrees Celsius after the 8 hours spent together under the covers. But is that physically possible? And then there's his smile. During the night, it's like my husband is on the verge of bursting into laughter, as though someone were telling him a hilarious story between two dreams. This characteristic, one I don't think we share, must be a good sign. An unhappy man doesn't smile in his sleep. I move my hand close to his head, but stop before my fingers brush his hair. On the pillow is a fine trail of dandruff, like the first snowfall. Often, I am moved to find these flakes in our bed or on the collar of a shirt. Is it bizarre to feel tenderness toward my husband's dandruff? I imagine that love is fed by such traces left on a piece of clothing or on a sheet, and that all the lovers of the world are affected by them. My husband stays asleep until his alarm goes off, even though I opened the bedroom shutters a little while ago now. For years, he's insisted that he can sleep only in complete darkness, but I've always preferred to sleep with the shutters open. The dark hours disorient me more than they restore me. My preference doesn't hold much weight compared with my husband's need for darkness. So when we started to share a bed, that concession happened naturally. It's not a big deal in the end. But this morning makes it clear that my husband has been lying to me. Obviously, he has no problem sleeping in the light. As he emerges gently from his sleep, my husband moves closer to me, but I turn around in time to escape his grasp. That's the rule. Last night, he went to sleep without wishing me good night, so he doesn't get any cuddles from me now. It is out of the question for me to give in, especially on a Tuesday. Tuesday is a quarrelsome day. The explanation is simple. Its color is black, and its Latin etymology reveals that it's the day of Mars, the god of war. The storming of the Bastille took place on a Tuesday, September 11th, too. Tuesday is always a dangerous day, which is all the more worrying because we have a dinner tonight that I have no desire to attend, and everyone knows that social gatherings are rarely peaceful. This morning, I immediately recognized from the shower's tepidness that my husband was the last person to use it. I like my showers hotter than him, but I enjoy rinsing with this water chosen by him in a world a few degrees cooler than my own. As I wrap myself in my towel, a draft makes me shiver. I apply oil to my hair and lotion to my legs, then a bit of perfume to the hollow of my neck. But upon contact with my skin, the hypnotic aroma transforms into a light floral fragrance. I bought this perfume after smelling it on another woman at an event. Even through the odor of cigarettes and wine, it immediately evoked a powerful love potion, an enchanting and extremely sensual fragrance. I slipped into our host's bathroom to find out the name of this dangerous poison and took a photo of the beveled flask, a small, exorbitantly priced perfumer. Alas, from the first spritz, the terrible truth. On my skin, this perfume isn't sexy at all. I've never managed to rid myself of my particular comforting smell. For years, my husband has called me sweetheart, while I yearn to be a femme fatale. The smell of coffee and hot chocolate emanates from downstairs. In the kitchen, my husband juices an orange. On the radio, commentators file through the studio. I drink my first cup of coffee during the news roundup. I'm on time. The children join us at the table for breakfast. My son and my daughter always appear at the same time. Do they plan it before coming down? I watch them systematically disappear together after their meals to go do their homework or play. They're separated by 2 years, 7 and 9, but they could be twins. They do everything together. Our friends and family envy us. You're so lucky your children get along so well. Mine barely speak to each other. Actually, our children more than get along. They are codependent. Is this a character trait I pass down to them unwittingly? Like every morning, my husband toasts 2 pieces of bread and covers them in strawberry jam. That's the only one he eats. He won't touch fig, blackberry, or cherry jam, not even a mix of red fruits. This monotheism has always amazed me because my husband doesn't even like strawberries. He finds them too acidic. Only when the small, colorful, juicy fruits are mashed to a pulp and combined with a load of sugar can he appreciate them. To each his own obsessions. For me, it's my cell phone. I've promised myself 100 times I will stop putting it on the table during meals. I know it's not healthy, but I can't help it. Fortunately, so far, my husband doesn't seem bothered by it. He tells me to have a good day and gives me a perfunctory peck. To me, it hardly even counts as a kiss.